Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand.
Now,
here's a little secret with what I do at the Rod Peterson Show, and I've made a career of it. I don't care whether you like me or you don't like me, but when you watch my show, I just want you to feel something.
How about that?
Whether you're happy or you're sad or you're angry or you're proud, I just want you to feel something. Because a lot of times you'll read a column or watch a show and say, meh. That's never been the hallmark of what I do. I want to make you think. I want to make you feel something. And it's worked. And if you don't agree with me, I'll be fine.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
I think so. That's what I think. Welcome to the RP Show, everybody.
I am.
Thank you, Rick Reagan, our big voice guy down in Wichita, Kansas. It is the RP Show, and away we go. Canada's daytime sports talk show coming to you from the bunker out here in Western Canada. I need to make that clear. We continue to get mail thinking that we're coming out of Toronto, which I'm taking as a compliment.
Yeah.
But we're not. We're Western Canadian folk out here on an exciting day. It is hour two of the program. Hour one was on Facebook Live. We've gone to Game Plus TV here in hour two. But we were joined by Taylor Shire, Global Television. That's where you might know him from. But now a sports agent working to be an agent with Link Management, Canada's newest Jerry Maguire. And Devin Haru joining us from CBC. That was in hour one, talking curling. And we're going to continue the curling talk coming up here. On the big network broadcast here is Alan Cameron will join us from Curling Canada. You were in doing stuff in your office. Did you watch the interview with Devin?
No, I didn't.
Well, so that's why I want to tee you up here. He said, Curling Canada has taken a lot of heat in the last week for pushing this bubble through. Why are you playing in a pandemic? What makes you think you can do this? So I'm interested to see what Alan Cameron has to say about that.
Yeah, and I take, you know, I think that Curling Canada is doing the right thing. And I take, not offense, but I disagree with everybody who gets upset about pushing sports through in the pandemic in this way. Now, putting it through, if the bubble isn't a real bubble, then I get it. It doesn't matter if you're in a hot spot. The whole idea of a bubble in a controlled environment is you can put it anywhere you want, and the community will be safe, the players will be safe, the teams will be safe, everybody will be safe. Now, if it's not a real true bubble, then it's a bit of an issue. So I think Curling Canada is fine.
So do I, but it is the loud and growing mob of how dare you? We're in a pandemic. And I guess they don't know what they're talking about, so I need to stop listening to them. But maybe it's easy for you to sit on your ass and do nothing.
Yes.
But for people that are trained and have been brought up in their lives to work for everything and not take no for an answer, this is a tough time 10 months into this thing. And if they can find a way to play, they're going to play. And if you don't want to do anything, then don't. But stop pointing the finger at those that are trying to make a living and have a career and do it safely. So slight trigger here on that. But anyways, let's go to the quick six show topics, please, Jordan. And I appreciate it. Just ahead of that, Jason Smith writes in and says, congratulations to University of Saskatchewan men's hockey coach Dave Adolph on 28 years of great hockey. You'll be hard to replace. I remember when he was hired, and I just got to say this. I was watching the Saskatoon Sports Podcast last night. I've had people texting me. The name Mike Babcock keeps coming up for the U of S Huskies because that's his alma mater.
Yes.
It's not completely out of the realm of thinking. I don't believe that it is, that you could go from a lucrative NHL career back to university coaching, which is where he started with the Lethbridge Pronghorns. I don't think it was completely ludicrous that Babcock's name would come up. So I texted some people close to Babcock and very quickly got a no way. That very fast.
Yeah.
And then people were laughing at me, saying, in other news, Stephen Harper's not running for Calgary City Council. Somebody actually said that. So my point is, it's not totally inconceivable. There's guys that go back and forth from NFL to NCAA. Jim Harbaugh is an example.
Are you kidding?
CFL to U Sports happens all the time. It's not completely unbelievable to think that Mike Babcock would think about that Huskies job.
That's a highly coveted job.
And well-paying.
One of the top programs in the country. I know you can say they've never won a national championship, but Dave won 7 Canada West titles, and Alberta's the heavyweight, and he's built a program that's
right.
1A, 1B with Alberta in terms of consistency, in terms of excellence, the players they turn over. You're getting a six-figure salary, you know, and you've got the pension, you get security.
Oh, yeah.
Decent salary, very comfortable, great market. Good, beautiful facility. It's a highly coveted job.
And I guess my point is I'm okay with being laughed at. I'm okay with going out on a limb. Believe me, I made a career out of it. But in this case, I don't think I necessarily deserve to be because it's not inconceivable. Mike Babcock, just a couple years ago, spoke at the convocation at the U of S. So anyways, that's something that's come up. And Mike Babcock, a huge name in hockey. We're getting weather reports from across the country, by the way. Craig Campbell at the Hockey Hall of Fame in Toronto writes in and says, sunny and chilly in Toronto today. I'll tell you what, it's above zero across most of this land. It's been a fairly mild and good winter so far.
Great. Yeah.
If you have to line up out front of the grocery store because of social distancing, you won't freeze to death. And that is a win. Now the quick six show topics. Ready? Number one, Darren Dreger, our dear friend, reporting a January 13th start date for the National Hockey League. And he has said the players and the owners have put money issues aside. I got to delve a little more deeply into this article at TSN.ca because I don't know all the details. Darren has said it many times, and he's right. We are a headline-reading society. And the headline says, Dreger, NHL to start January 13th, money issues put aside. Didn't say money issues were dealt with or finalized, right?
Right.
They've just been shelved. So at some point, they're going to have to deal with it. Jeremy Davis writes in from the Game Plus control room in downtown Toronto. He says, don't worry about haters, Rod. Thank you, Jeremy. You sound just like my dad. My dad said, don't listen to him, Rod. I'm not. Point two, Lou Marsh Award. Last I looked, they haven't named it yet.
I haven't seen the notification. I think they're voting today, and then it should be
announced.
I thought
they were announcing it today.
I think the vote's today. Does it happen on the same day?
What's that, Clark? Clark says they should be announcing it today. Who knew this was going to be the biggest hot-button topic of the show? But it has been. And you can throw up the results, if you don't mind, from the daily poll for Capital Automall Universal Collision Center. These were the four candidates that I came up for Canada's Athlete of the Year, which will be announced today. Chase Claypool of the Pittsburgh Steelers, the pride of Chilliwack, BC. Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, the Montrealer who played with the Kansas City Chiefs, won a Super Bowl last year and decided not to play in 2020 because he wanted to go be a doctor, which he has that training and education and help out on the front lines of the pandemic. And Alfonso Davies, who ripped up the German Pro Soccer League when they got back to work before anybody else. And Jamal Murray of the Denver Nuggets, Ontario basketball player. And the winner, or the leader, is Alfonso Davies. And all I've been saying on the program today is, and I don't have anything against Alfonso Davies. Like, it's just that soccer, he had a very fast lead because the other three weren't out of the starting blocks yet. And he was already three quarters around the track.
That's right.
Right? And now I just think Chase Claypool really caught up, tying an NFL Super Bowl era record with 10 touchdowns in his first 10 games of his NFL career. I mean, that's not shoddy. No. And he's saying it should be Duvernay-Tardif, and he's not wrong either. I'm just saying this is not the Humanitarian of the Year Award or the Man of the Year Award. They have awards for what Duvernay-Tardif does.
Right.
This isn't it.
But he did it and won a Super Bowl. So if he had just done that, that's fine. You know, congratulations. He did a great thing. But he also won a Super Bowl, was on the offensive line of the number one team in the National Football League, which is a major accomplishment as well. So he's got the athletic box checked, and now he's got the bonus box checked of doing great things during the pandemic. And I think Claypool's got the boxes checked too. So does Alfonso Davies. I don't think Jamal Murray's a distant fourth, but I think we've found the top three.
Well, what I've surmised is we in Canada have a lot to pound our chests about. Even though a lot of people think sports don't matter, this poll's proving that they do. Rob Vanstone, the esteemed post-media columnist, writes in and he says the Lou Marsh Award to be announced early this afternoon. And thanks for the Denver Nuggets plug. And from Devin Aru from CBC, watching in downtown Toronto, He says, we'll know today. Largest group of voters in the history of the award. They're debating right now. Wow, that's exciting. And it probably will be Alphonso Davies, but at least it's a decision. At least it's not a runaway. You want a competition.
And we got one.
Yeah, we got a lot to be proud of here in Canada. This is the warm-up for the Four Seasons Sports Palace. It is Saskatchewan's original sports bar in your home for the NFL. Come in and warm up at the Four Seasons. Last night, I was cleaning around the house, and in my head, it just popped up, I don't know why, what my top five sports teams are. These are the things I think about when I'm not here. And so I put them on Twitter. Clark, do you still have it? Do you want to throw it up? Number one was the Regina Pats hockey team, the world's oldest junior hockey team. Number two, Canada's team, the Saskatchewan Roughriders. Number three, the Vegas Golden Knights. Number four, the Edmonton Oilers. And number five, the Toronto Blue Jays. And lo and behold, the Blue Jays responded with a Leonardo DiCaprio thanks. I couldn't believe it. I was blown away. So the Blue Jays are going higher on my list. I think they've gone past the Oilers, but not quite as high as the Golden Knights. I might have to change the list.
Mm-hmm.
But just so excited. There's little things these teams are realizing. You just do a little thing for your fans.
Yeah.
They'll never forget it. I'll never forget this.
Oh, I know. Absolutely. I mean, that's the personal touch that makes all the difference in the world. It's great.
Point four, CFL news. And there was some big news in the CFL on Monday. Brock Sunderland extended as the general manager of the Edmonton football team. Are we saying Edmonton Elk yet? Because I like it.
We're not.
Oh, okay. Brock Sunderland. What?
No, keep going on.
Given an extension as the GM of the Edmonton football team. And as I said, not a red letter day except for the Sunderland family. It's big for him. But he didn't do anything to lose his job. And that's really what leads to an extension. I mean, they had the season canceled the year before they missed the playoffs, and he fired Jason Maas. But that was a coach that he inherited. So we don't know anything about Brock Sunderland yet, is my point. We know nothing about this guy. But he did sign Trevor Harris and Greg Ellingson, and he did hire Scott Milanovich as head coach, so he's on the right track. Clearly the board of the Edmonton football team feels the same way.
Yeah, and why not? I mean, Trevor Harris, he's got the number one completion percentage in CFL history right now. He's not done his career, but you got a good quarterback. You got a proven coach. You've got the receiver. You've got some weapons in place. Now you got to get it done on the field. So, yeah, he's done nothing to lose the job.
Regarding the Lou Marsh Award, Jack Fulton's watching in Vulcan, Alberta, and he says, what about Canadian linebacker Alex Singleton, who after starting only six games, leads the Eagles in tackles with 71? Should I tell him, where are you?
Yeah, sorry, Jack.
He's from Thousand Oaks, California.
Wrong passport.
Doesn't qualify. Mandy in Edmonton writes, yes! Just because she loves the CFL talk. And you saw that theme that ran through yesterday's show where a viewer in Edmonton said that all our NFL talk is a disservice to Canadian viewers and CFL fans. He was roundly trounced.
Yes.
Virtually given the business, that viewer. I had a guy in Toronto write me and say, you talk so much CFL, you're allowed to talk whatever NFL you want. Did you see that tweet?
Yeah.
He's like, there's nobody else talking as much CFL as you guys. That's the first time I hit the Christmas tree today.
That's good.
That's down from yesterday.
Yeah.
BC Lions naming co-general managers on Monday. And I did send a note to one of them, Neil McAvoy, saying congratulations. He's excited. I've seen pundits, well, the co-GMs are Neil McAvoy and Rick Campbell. And yes, it seems a little clunky and bulky. I don't know, did the president, Rick Lalashire, explain why they did this yet? I think he had a Zoom call yesterday with the media. I wasn't on it. My thing is, why'd they have to name co-GMs? The only thing I could think of was so that he didn't have to give them both a raise or give one of them a big raise. But I did say it was going to be internal. I'm still wondering where it leaves G. Roy Simon, but G. Roy Simon's not going anywhere. And believe me, in this pandemic world, football jobs are very hard to come by to begin with. So G. Roy will be heard from again. I'm sure he feels snubbed, but that, look at all the people I've just named. Neil McAvoy, who you probably wouldn't know, but Rick Campbell, first-class guy. Neil's a first-class guy. G. Roy's a first-class guy. The whole operation's full of first-class guys.
Yeah.
So I can't quite figure out how they haven't been able to win since Wally left. But the next GM job that comes open in the CFL somewhere else, Giroy is probably going to be applying because he's like, I'm not waiting anymore.
Right. Unless he's part of the plan, unless they're grooming him in BC. And, you know, having an experienced guy, Neil McAvoy, who's been around the organization for a long time, Rick Campbell's got a ton of experience. So you have a little, you know, solidify those spots. Maybe Giroy's being groomed to be the next guy because you ran into this in BC last year. Yeah, you had Ed Hervey, and you get the big quarterback, and you get, you know, some good players in the field, and Burnham leading that receiving core in the offense, but you put a rookie coach there with a pretty young staff, and you fail. And then you start turning over the pieces, and you see the team start to come back a little bit when you get a little bit of experience there. And now with Rick Campbell coming in, you want some, you want to solidify those key spots, let the team have some success, and then bring the young guy in, I think.
We wish them well.
Yeah.
Mandy says, no, I got it wrong. She said yes to the little things teams do for the fans. So thank you. And I'm sorry for miscommunicating that, what you thought. It's what the teams do for the fans that they never forget. The Blue Jays get it. Point five, Tuesday Night Football. The Dallas Cowboys, 3-8 at the Baltimore Ravens tonight. What are they, 6-5? 7:05 p.m. Central Time kickoff. On national television, I've got the Cowboys to lose. I want them to lose. That's my team. But I want them to draft as high as possible. You understand where I'm coming from?
Yeah.
The season's over.
Look, with the way the Giants are playing, and now with the way Washington's playing, the season is over for Dallas.
Yeah, it's over.
I had optimism last week. I don't anymore.
I didn't. Point six, James Harden's news in Houston. We're delving into that. He hasn't shown up for Rockets training camp yet. He doesn't want to play for the Houston Rockets. I can't figure out why. We were there last year. Beautiful facility. Great franchise from what we can see. Yeah, the owner's broke, but you know what? There's going to be a lot of owners that are broke. So I'm just digging into that before we talk a little more about James Harden. The rock star of the day yesterday was TSN's Craig Button. You can vote at the end of today's show for Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions, and your options are Taylor Shire of Global and Link Management, Devin Haru of CBC Toronto, and Alan Cameron from Curling Canada. And we have our poll going. Guys, do you the bracket. Do you want to put the bracket up? A screenshot here. The name the Edmonton football team. Empire versus the Eggs. Empire won out there. Eagles against the Escargot. In the last 24 hours, the Eagles won that. So they've moved on to round two. The Elk beat the Element. And just yesterday, the Elite beat the Edmonton Football Club. So you can vote on Instagram. On our poll there, we will have the Edmonton football team named by Christmas. No charge.
That one bugs me. I thought, you know, if you see Washington play yesterday, the numbers, I think it looks
good. Pretty good, yeah.
Look great. Edmonton Football Club would have been awesome.
Interesting. Yeah, I got a message from a friend of mine, the Waz. You know him.
Yeah.
He just said, Rod, it was just about the Washington team name. And he goes, did this accomplish what they were hoping? We don't think that it has.
No.
Not yet.
Not yet.
So, yeah. So, anyways, people are paying attention. We got a break. Is Al ready? All right. My good buddy Alan Cameron from Curling Canada joining us next. Been far too long since we broke bread. This has been the warm-up for Four Seasons Sports Palace. You're watching on Game Plus Television, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You gotta subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. Oh yeah, he's back. Time for more of The Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody. Hot topic today, as Canada's Lou Marsh Award winner for 2020 is going to be announced. Twitter's somewhat on the fritz, but it's at least working enough that I can get some results here from my own personal Twitter page for Capital Automall Universal Collision Center. Who is Canada's Athlete of the Year? Leading the vote on Twitter, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif of the Kansas City Chiefs. And tied for second, Chase Claypool and Jamal Murray, and Alphonso Davis is last.
Whoa.
Tells you something about my followers, I guess.
I guess so.
Anyways, we got viewer takeover coming up, 306-840-8777. If you want to reach us right here in the bunker, 840-8777. Prairie Mobile is your authorized SaskTel Mobility dealer. Okay, Alan Cameron's a busy guy. He's with Curling Canada, top communications guy there, PR guy, joins us from the Loops. How you doing, AC?
Not too bad, Roddy. How about you?
Great. The CFL fans are already writing in, man, about you. Can I tell you something that's going to make you laugh uproariously?
All ears, all ears.
So Sunday morning of what was supposed to be Grey Cup last month, we had a virtual Football Reporters of Canada breakfast.
I heard.
Yeah, I told you this happens jealous. Every Sunday morning. Yeah. So your name came up because the guys were like, where is Al? All the guys on Zoom, they're like, he's still out in the hall collecting dues. That was your job every year at Grey Cup, right?
Every year, it sure was. Yep. It definitely was with the FRC. It was difficult in that FRC suite a few years, as you know. I do remember the Calgary Grey Cup, I want to say 2009, and Gibson's Finest was sponsoring it. And let's just say there was a lot of Gibson's Finest left over. I think they overestimated what the media were capable of. And my good friend from the Calgary Sun, your good friend Ian Busby, and I got to clean up the suite the next morning. And let's just say we got a lot of Gibson's Finest to take home with us.
Well, the night of the 13th, man, I put as big a dent in it as I could. Anyways, Al, so we had Devin Aru last hour, and as you know, he's your biggest supporter of Curling Canada, and he said you guys have been under a lot of fire in the last week or so with the announcement of the Calgary bubble. Can you speak about what it's been like? It surprised me a little bit when I heard that.
Well, to be honest, I would suggest that the response has been more positive than negative. I would put it in the 75-25 range in terms of, Devin suggested during his interview, is that curling fans are desperate to see something on TV in the new year. And I think that's as much as anything. That was a huge motivating factor for us to try and make this happen. So, yes, there are people asking, why are you doing this? Why did you announce it? Well, there's a lot of factors, as you would suspect, in that. But what it really comes down to is, what else were we supposed to do? Should we not have even tried? I think we would have been criticized even more if we just out and out said, you know what? Why bother? It's too big a challenge. We're up to the challenge. The curlers are up to the challenge. Calgary is up to the challenge. And this is going to be a very, very safe environment for the athletes and for the staff. Well, people like me and my communication would think I'd be agreeing to go into something like this unless I was absolutely sure that this was going to be a safe environment. And I think that's the biggest misunderstanding. People don't understand just how safe it is. And perhaps many of you saw Devin's story this morning that kind of outlined some of the safety factors and some of the restrictions that will be in place. This is going to be a bubble in every sense of the word.
Is it the same, as far as you know, as maybe what the NHL bubble followed in Toronto and Edmonton in terms of protocols, or what's the differences?
Well, let's just say we definitely consulted with the NHL and borrowed liberally from what they did successfully in Edmonton specifically. Nolan Thiessen from our organization did make a trip up to that NHL bubble to actually see it with his own eyes and see what they were doing. And obviously, Alberta Health Services was integral in terms of making themselves available to say what worked in Edmonton, and clearly everything worked in Edmonton. And also, we had some high-powered people contributing outside of the Curling Canada organization, notably Dr. Robert McCormick, the longtime chief medical officer of the Canadian Olympic Committee and just one of the most brilliant sports medicine people in Canada. And he knows, he's got a vested interest in making sure that the athletes who are in the Olympic stream are safe. And he wouldn't have signed off on something like this unless he was confident that we're putting the right measures in place.
The one thing that really caught my attention, and you can confirm this, I'm sure you will, is if you break protocol in the Calgary bubble, you are suspended for 1 year, actually more than 1 year. So you guys aren't fooling around.
No, and nor should we, right? I mean, it's a serious matter. It's a serious concern. And the players have to be aware of what they're getting into. And the fact that, we've gotten such positive response from those players indicates that they are buying in. And as we knew they would, because we've been talking to them since day one. As has been suggested, we've been talking about doing this bubble since last March, and there was a lot of thought put into it, and consultation with those players to make sure that they're into it as well, and that they're aware of what needs to be done. And from that perspective, I've been with this organization for 7 years now, and I can't think of a better the sweeping issue in 2016 was an example of it too. And I think it kind of speaks to the community at large of curling, that when everybody is pulling in the same direction, there's some magnificent things that can happen for our sport. Oh. And that was the case for putting this bubble together.
And wonderful people in the sport too. They're all our friends. I can't wait to see our friends. The Cooies, obviously, Rachel Holman, I've done events with. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. And by the way, forget about the suspension in terms of not being able to curl for a year. The shame involved, I mean, you could lose sponsors. You could, obviously, public opinion is something the curlers don't want. That would be the worst. But, Al, are you expecting a full complement of 10 provinces and territories? Because we haven't even figured out in our province how we're going to get the provincial playdowns down. Do you even concern yourself with that?
Well, 13, right? I mean, there'd be 14 teams. So we have 14 member associations, the 10 provinces, 3 territories, and Northern Ontario. And as of right now, if you're asking me, yes, we expect them all to be there. We've provided guidance. Ultimately, it's up to the provinces and territories to name their teams. But we have been consulting with them and providing them some contingency plans based on what is going on in their respective jurisdictions. Boy, I'm using a lot of big words that I never used to use, aren't I, Rod? But... The honest truth is we have been talking to them, and there's been no indication that nobody's not going to send a team. Now, we're on December, 8th right now?
Yeah.
Opening rock in the Scotties would be somewhere around February 20th, February 19th, thereabouts. A lot can happen between now and February, as we both know. I don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. So that said, we've just about got every contingency covered. And the plan right now, if we're starting tomorrow, we'd have 14 member associations there.
Awesome. So before I turn the page just over to some CFL stuff, is there anything else on this that you'd like the nation to know?
Well, I think just two things, really. Understand that this is going to be as safe an environment as you're going to find. And acknowledge that this isn't the National Hockey League with 30 millionaire, billionaire owners, or the NBA with this is a national sport organization that's doing something for its athletes and for its fans. And I think that needs to be recognized, that it's a big step forward, I think, in terms of showing our commitment to the sport of curling and to our curling fans in this country as well. And just understand, you know, as you read that release, Rod, you would have noticed, and I wrote it, and I did this on purpose. We aim to, we hope to. You know, we're not making any promises, right? Because making promises in this pandemic era is kind of a fool's errand. But we're going to try our freaking hardest to make sure it happens. And if it does, and there's no reason to believe it won't right now, it's going to be a wonderful show and something for every curling fan in Canada to look forward to.
I notice every news release says we may, or nobody's guaranteeing anything. And I also notice that you guys are... Yeah, going to Thunder Bay next year, too. But, you know, yeah. I read everything that you do, Alan, and I just think, I don't think Alan ever worked this hard when he was covering the Herald. Like, those are some long days, and that is a lot of writing covering curling. But having said that, how many years did you follow the Stamps and the CFL for the Calgary Herald?
Well, I started there in 2000, and for a few years I was the understudy to a guy named Mike Petrie, whom we both know in the admire, and he was a great teacher. And then I took over as the beat writer from 2008 to 2012. So just a great time. And if I'm going to say one aspect of being a sports writer that I truly miss, it's covering the CFL, because it really is the best part of sports in Canada outside of Breyer, of course. But I love the CFL, and you know that, and we had some great talks and we saw some great games together over the years. And I like many football fans in Canada, can't wait to see the CFL come back in 2021.
Yeah, well, 08 to 12, it was a wonderful era, particularly for the Calgary Stampeders. I mean, what just tell me what your memories are of that. Some of the greatest Grey Cups, like in Olympic Stadium in Montreal, and then the 100th in Toronto was so much fun.
My heavens.
Yeah, wasn't that something?
Yeah. It was a great, well, and it, honestly, some of the Grey Cups that didn't have Calgary in them, and I hate to bring it up, but that 2009 Grey Cup, I mean, it was, Rod, you were in that locker room too. I've never been more scared to be in a sports locker room than I was in that Saskatchewan locker room after. But in terms of compelling stories and you know, deadline rush, you know, that's a part of being a sports writer. I miss deadline rush, and there's nothing like it for the CFL. Amazing games, amazing trips into Regina. Just so much fun. So many passionate fans there, obviously. But across the country, I just that was a fun time to watch football, and so many compelling stories. Henry at his best, and sometimes at his worst, obviously, right? And and always the back and forth between Calgary and Saskatchewan, which was a great storyline in and of itself.
That was the peak for us. That was the peak. Well, Al, as you wouldn't be a surprise to you that you are missed in those CFL circles. The guys talk about you all the time, but I'm happy that I can follow you in the curling world. So, and I always enjoy our visits. The last time was in Moose Jaw when you announced the Scotties there. So anyways, keep up the great work. We're following closely, Alan, and stay safe and Merry Christmas.
Hey, same to you and everybody out there in Saskatchewan as well, Rod. Always a pleasure talking to you.
You betcha. The West Division's AC, as I always said. Alan Cameron joining us from Curling Canada as we bring back in Darren DuPont here in the bunker. And that was, to me, quite an uplifting visit. We've sure got to the bottom of some things today.
Oh, yeah.
In the curling world, haven't we?
Yeah, absolutely. And I like the fact that, hey, if you're not going to follow protocols, stiff penalty, right? And it's a big deal. And
why isn't the NFL doing that?
Right. Well, and
you might miss a week if you don't follow protocol.
But can you imagine, if you're a big contender, if you're Dunstone, if you're Cooey, right? If you're Brennan Botcher, there's a lot of teams that are, if you're Gushue, et cetera, et cetera. The trials are coming up in Saskatoon. Olympic trials. Would this put you in the window where you'd have to, where you'd miss the trials because you didn't follow the protocol? So they're going to be making sure that you follow protocols. The teams are going to have to make sure internally that, look, at there's no messing around. There's no messing around. You might want to go out and do the briar patch and make your own because it's not going to exist. No messing around, because you do it and you might lose your chance to compete at the Olympics.
I just want to tell a couple of quick curling things before we go to a break and come back with a sports update, and then we'll invite you all to participate in viewer takeover. The first, of course, is Rachel Holman, who I did that event about 1 year ago to the day. In Paradise Hill was the name of the little town. I'd never been there before, and it was Rachel Holman, myself, two Sutters, Daryl and Brian, and a chuck wagon legend by the name of Buddy Bensmiller. You must have heard of that name.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't even need to be a chuck wagon fan to know the name Buddy Bensmiller. But Rachel Holman, I'd never met her, and I just, from watching her on TV, she just looks like the ice queen. I didn't even want to go talk to her, right? She just looked like she'd rip my face off.
Right.
Well, she is, as it turns out, the coolest, the funniest, the warmest, nicest person. And I said on the stage in the interview in front of all the crowd, I said, what is the deal? How come you don't show this? Right?
Yeah.
And she goes, look at a hockey player. Look at a football player. You know, they got a mask on, but are they smiling and laughing and giggling? It's go time.
She's an athlete.
Got me. Got me. But she's fierce.
Yeah.
But that's what's made her so good, three-time national champion. And then Ben Hebert is the lead of Team Cooey out of Calgary, and Benny is that golf buddy of Bo Levi Mitchell's. And Ben wrote me just within the last couple weeks, and he said, can you please get along with Bo Levi Mitchell? It would make life a lot easier. And I'm like, no, the feud is good for business. You can tell him that.
Easier? That's not good for a business.
Ben's my friend. Ben's Bo's friend. No, you know how it's awkward for that person in the middle.
It is easier to not have haters. Life is easier. But easier doesn't mean more successful, right? The road that's the toughest to travel sometimes has the greatest destination.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? All that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it's great. Keep it going.
The journey of 10,000 miles begins with a single step. Who said it? Mao Zedong.
Very good. Very good.
Curling Zone watching and writes in, says, great coverage today. Always good to hear from Devin and Al. Give them a follow on Facebook. Curling Zone, number one, I would say, information source for curling in the country.
Yeah.
Sports update coming up next. We continue to await the announcement of Canada's Lou Marsh Award winner for the Athlete of the Year for 2020. We'll talk about that and more when we come back. You're watching the RP Show on Game Plus TV, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You gotta subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed.
Man.
laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. Just ahead of the sports update, Pat Janik's watching in Saskatoon says Arash just dropped the news. The announcement for the Lou Marsh Award will come at 1:30 p.m. Eastern. So I guess the RP show stays on until then. No, not happening.
We'll talk about it tomorrow.
I got to go get a haircut.
I don't.
Clark tells me that Arash is on the program tomorrow. That'll be great. The Canadian junior hockey team is resuming its selection camp today after completing a 14-day quarantine. The camp was suspended November 26th after two players and one non-core staff member tested positive for COVID-19. The nine other international teams are scheduled to arrive by charter flight on Sunday. Exhibition games planned December 20th to the 23rd. Hockey Canada's Vice President of Events, Dean McIntosh, insists stringent protocols and testing required for international players to enter Edmonton's bubble will make the World Junior Championship safe to proceed. I've been saying for weeks this is Canada's version of U.S. college football. It's happening. Don't let those that are trying to derail it win.
Don't let them bring you down either.
Don't let them bring you down. Don't. Meanwhile, under pressure to remove Belarus as co-host of next year's Men's World Hockey Championship, the IIHF said today, a working trip to Minsk was canceled because two top officials have become infected with COVID-19. You might have heard of them. Governing body president Renny Fossil.
Yep.
Renny Fossil, however you say it. Yeah. And General Secretary Horst Lichtner both tested positive for the virus ahead of traveling to meet Belarusian President Alexander Lukashenko. Again, Renny Fossil got the Rona. The Pittsburgh Steelers are no longer undefeated following a 2013-17 loss last night against Washington. Pittsburgh was looking to improve to 12-0 and could have locked up a playoff berth with a victory. The Buffalo Bills moved a step closer to winning their division for the first time since 1995, thanks to a nearly flawless performance from Josh Allen on Monday Night Football. The 24-year-old quarterback threw for 375 yards, tied a career high with four touchdown passes, and the Bills stayed in sole possession of first place in the AFC East with a 34-24 victory over the San Francisco 49ers. The sports update for the Tab Brewhouse and Drive-Thru Liquor Store, corner of Rochdale and Pasqua, for Ben Cahoon's G2G Protein Bars, now with eight amazing flavors, including the new Almond Mocha. You have your finger in the air. Do you know that?
I did know that, yeah. I'm waiting for something for when you're done.
Okay, RP Show viewers get 20% off with the promo code RP Show. Order yours now at g2gbars.ca. And for Wendell Clark's Classic Bar and Grill in Saskatoon, corner of Idlewild and Circle Drive, see it, Wendell's. It is Taco Tuesday there.
Just when I said in the break that we were running like a Swiss watch.
What did we do?
The signals got crossed.
What
on
happened?
The finger up. No. I was just looking up Renny Fossil. IOC, so he's a member of the IOC, president of the IIHF, and he's a dentist in Switzerland.
Fossil is?
He's also a dentist.
He's got a side job?
He's got a side gig. Hustle. He's got the side
He's
hustle.
A hustler. Wow.
Yeah.
By the way, we heard from Jeremy Davis in the Game Plus control room in downtown Toronto and the Republic of Toronto. We were saying the other day, we haven't heard from the closed captioner lately. You want to send us a text so we know you're still alive? 306-840-8777. I think I had his number saved in here.
Closed captioner.
Please send us a text message. Let us know you're okay.
We'll stop talking for 25 seconds so you can type the message.
Write us in the break if you have to. I think I have it saved in here. I'd have to go and find it. But you understand what I'm saying. It's Cole. Cole's his name. I did say it. Cole, are you alive? He's the closed captioner at Game Plus, and he wrote in on our very first day on July 2nd on Game Plus TV, and we haven't heard from him since. Can you put the comment up, please, from Jack in Alberta? Because you see where this is going. He says, interesting, the World Juniors are going ahead as Edmonton has far and above the highest COVID cases in Alberta. The mayor announced more lockdowns to try to curb the spread of the virus, I guess. Does it make me a big meanie and everybody that is pro sport that they're going to try and play and do it safely? I just read from the guy from Hockey Canada saying, we're going to do this safely. You know that's not going to be enough for a lot of people, right?
The city could literally be on fire in flames. But if you go into a bubble that protects you from the fire, it doesn't matter. It's not going to affect the city. So if Curling Canada has the resources, money, right, and the protocol is in place to do it safely, it won't matter how bad it is. That's why the NBA could go into Orlando. The hotspot Florida was. It's why the NHL could go into Edmonton and run it safely, not affect the city, not impact the players, because they had a very secured, controlled bubble. If curling has that type of control and they have the bubble, it won't matter where you put it. The number of cases in the community is irrelevant. Now, if there's not a controlled bubble, then yeah, it's irresponsible. I agree.
But they're not going to do it if it's not responsible.
That's like, right. That's right.
We've had the best pundits and analysts on here over the last week, thanks to producer Clark. And that includes Sportsnet Sammy Cosentino. He and I broadcast the World Juniors together in 2012. Craig Button yesterday, Rich Sutter. People think that because they can't see what's going on behind the scenes, that nothing's going on. They've got, again, go to hockeycanada.ca and read all the coverage there. They haven't been tainted by fake news.
Right.
They've had unbelievable coverage at hockeycanada.ca where they've explained the health officials that they've hired. And the hockey people are saying, we're hockey people. We don't understand this stuff. So we've hired doctors and disease specialists to get them through this. So it's like, it's a little like team names that people find offensive. They've got too much time on their hands. They're sitting at home and they're like, you know what? Let's screw up the World Juniors. Let's start that campaign. You're not going to win. Dave Haney's watching in Medicine Hat. You are a big meanie. Oh, true. Very good point. Don't. Let's do the full-on viewer takeover when we come back. What
Let's
do you
it.
Say?
Let's
All right.
do it.
It's the RP show here watching on Game Plus. Facebook Live. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. And listen live for Sud's Full Service Car Wash at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You gotta subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
And Darren and the entire crew. Welcome back, everybody. Oh, we got a lot of fun planned for you here in the overtime. We've already faced off, and that was over. I think Chase Claypool should win Canada's Athlete of the Year. He thinks it should be Laurent Duvernay-Tardif. And you people, you voters, think it should be Alphonso Davies. So the good news out of that is there's a lot of choices. There's a lot of good choices for Canadian Athlete of the Year. From the text line, by the way, we found out from the people at Game Plus, Cole don't work here no more.
Don't.
The closed captioner, Cole, who used to text into our show, not there anymore. So Clark said in the break we should text him. Heard you quit.
Tomorrow's poll question. What's the reason that Cole left Game Plus?
Did you get a promotion to the social?
Spell something wrong in the closed captioning?
Maybe he moved to New York.
Ooh, slid over into the Fight Network.
Yeah, maybe. Exactly. What's the show with Whoopi Goldberg? What's the show?
The View.
Yeah, maybe he's on The View. Anyways, Cole's replacement's name is Jeff. Closed captioning right now. Jeff, you want to text us? 306-840-8777 is the Prairie Mobile text line. So Wayne in Victoria writes in on the Prairie Mobile text line. He says, I know you don't like talking about COVID on the show, but if masks are keeping people safe, why can't fans go to watch sports in person, at least to some capacity? You think I know the answer to that? I've been saying that for 10 months. He just wants to get that off his chest. He's not expecting an answer.
Well, the only one I could give is that they're trying to protect you from yourself. Problem is, you put 100 people in wearing a mask, they're probably great, but you put 18,000 people in all wearing a mask, there's a good chance that 5 or 6,000 of them will take their mask off when they're not supposed to. I think.
It's a very logical question, Wayne and Victoria.
Very much.
We don't have the answer, and we're not doctors. Janelle writes in from Saskatoon. She says, I missed the show, but we'll be watching it after overtime while I clean. Just so good to see your faces. Thank you, Janelle. Appreciate it. Can't wait to see yours when the world gets back to normal and we can go to Blades games and Rush games. See you on the other side. Brady in Saskatoon. You know we're very big in Saskatoon, eh?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Rod, I believe the reason James Harden wants out in Houston is because he feels he won't win there. The GM has made bad decisions as far as trades, making the team play strictly small ball and making them unable to play big. That's from Brady. And he might be right. Actually, look at me double-fisting him here. Penks wrote and says, James Harden has indicated, this is a screenshot from Bleacher Report, James Harden has indicated to the Rockets that he's open to being traded to the 76ers or other contenders per ESPN. Daryl Morey wants to keep Embiid and Simmons in Philly. So I don't know what's going on with Houston. We should have done a little more poking around when we were down there instead of eating Cheetos and popcorn.
I know.
Cindy and I were discussing that the other day. We're like, remember that popcorn they served in the Toyota Center in Houston? The Doritos and popcorn mashed together?
Cheesies.
What did I say?
Cheetos. You said Doritos.
Oh, sorry. Cheetos.
Cheetos.
And popcorn together. It was dripping orange. It was one of the greatest arena stadium foods I've ever had in my life. Toyota Center in Houston. Instead of doing that and getting these gifts from the Houston Rockets, we should have been poking around saying, how come the players don't want to stay here?
I know. Like, I had my face full of barbecue and mac and cheese, Texas barbecue.
Oh,
and
you want to go from Houston to Philly? Not that there's anything wrong with Philly. You know that we're on television in Philadelphia every day. But the climate is just so much better.
And Houston's a land of the stars, too. Like, isn't Jay-Z and they're down there?
Everybody's,
right? Everybody's in Houston. Massive city.
George Cortez is there.
George Cortez, fourth largest in the United States or North America. Amazing. It's a great place. Climate's beautiful.
But it's true what he says about James Harden wanting to win. I mean, those NBA players, they get into the league and they've made their money. You go one of two ways. You eventually don't care about winning, and that does happen. You get so used to losing. I've seen it. Or you just want to win more than anything else in the world, and you start chasing that ring. We've seen it. Jerome McGinley, Ray Bourque. Sometimes it happens. Sometimes it doesn't happen. Probably more often than not, it doesn't happen.
That's right.
Ask Iggy. But that's where James Harden's coming from. And the players know. And I thought it was very dangerous in Jacksonville when Jalen Ramsey wanted out. Who was the D-tackle? Ngakoue. Yeah. He wanted out, and they let him out. The players know.
Yeah. And if a guy doesn't want to be there, he's not really going to be an asset for you, right? He's going to bring the other players down a little bit. It's not going to be a good situation. James Harden, if he really doesn't want to be there, he's going to bring the level of everybody else down instead of boosting them up. And you want your stars to lift everybody else around you. And we talk about living in Houston being the most amazing thing ever. They'll live wherever they want to live.
Oh, yeah.
They'll go play basketball and then go back to where they want to live the rest of the year. And when they're there to play basketball, they're not really living, right? I mean, they're playing basketball.
Okay, I got it. Tomorrow, John Paddock's going to be in here, the general manager of the Regina Pats, former coach of the Philadelphia Phantoms and the Winnipeg Jets and the Ottawa Senators. Clark tells me it's video chat, but whatever. We'll ask him about that. Mm-hmm. I would love to hear from a pro general manager, and he's probably thinking, you don't want to be here, we don't want you here. If you don't want to be part of the turnaround, bye-bye. We want players that do. Anyways, that's tomorrow. Arash Madani will be joining us to talk about the Lou Marsh Award. It's just been fantastic today, everybody. Thanks, Dupes.
Thank you.
Vote on our poll for Rockstar of the Day, and we'll see you tomorrow, 10 a.m. Central and noon Eastern, here on Game Plus. I don't know. This is not an online therapy session whatsoever.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.